And here we go again, retreatants. It's Pastor Bob. And this is part B of our day six meditation on our 7-day journey with Thomas Merton. Still recovering from part A a little bit, but let us proceed. Our theme for both part A and part B, common and natural and ordinary. Common and natural and ordinary. So, let's begin. Often, in our own life, we lose sight of the fact, as Merton would say, that even the most ordinary actions of our everyday life are invested, by their nature, with a deep spiritual meaning. First line, let's repeat it. Often in our own life, we lose sight of the fact that even the most ordinary actions of our everyday life are invested, by their nature, with a deep spiritual meaning. But Thomas Merton never forgot this. The monastic way of life takes the ordinary, the mundane, the humdrum, and makes that a way to God. We find in the Rule of Saint Benedict that the monk is told to handle the humblest material things with reverence and respect. The garden tools, the pots and pans in the kitchen, the things you stick in the pantry are to be treated with just as much care as the sacred vessels of the altar. Thomas Merton writes of how the monk comes to love his monastery and to find it, as he says, the house of God and the gate of heaven. Buildings, furniture, farming equipment are all respected, valued, and even loved. Not for their own sakes, but for the sake of God, to whom they belong. If we could only generate that kind of worldview with the created world and the human created things around us, so that everything around us, outside of us, are all respected, valued, and even loved, not for their own sakes. Man, I love that motorcycle. Not for their own sakes, but for the sake of God to whom they belong. Religion in Wood. It's a title of a book, of photographs, of Shaker furniture, for which Thomas Merton wrote the introduction. He found in these dissenting communities, as he calls them, like the Shakers, which had come to America from England in the 18th century, he found a people dedicated to working with their hands, who made their work into prayer. Each piece of work that they undertook was work that was done patiently, gently, lovingly, so that it became, in effect, an act of worship. Merton wrote this about the Shaker furniture makers. The craftsmen began each new chair as if it were the first chair ever to be made in the world. See, their craftsmanship was a direct reflection of their love of God. Each thing had to fulfill its own vocation to be precisely what it was supposed to be. The carpenter or cabinet maker was simply enabling the wood to respond to the call to become a chair, a table, a chest. Merton wrote, "One feels that for the Shaker craftsman, love of God and love of truth in one's own work came to the same thing. And work itself was a prayer, a communion with the inmost spiritual reality of things, and so with God." Thus, the work of their hands was an expression of love, of tenderness and care for all living beings. Indeed, the work of their hands was an expression of love for life itself. In Thomas Merton, we see a man who is totally present to whatever he is doing, whatever he is handling. He takes the simplest realities of life, gives them time, allows them to be themselves, and then allows them to reveal God. This, friends, is something I want to learn. Don't you? Discover for ourselves and take from this retreat into our daily life. Amen. He is totally present in that moment to whatever he is doing. He gives them time, the simplest realities of life. Gives them time, allows them to be themselves. That's a great line. And allows them then to reveal God. Isn't that something you'd like to take from this retreat? Oh, so we ask God to help us to see. Amen. It comes back to that. Ask God to help us to see, to touch, and to be aware. This is why the Merton photographs, for he was also a fairly renowned photographer, those Merton photographs, they allow us to see through his eyes. And if you ever have a chance to look at one of his books of photography, in his photos you see his gentleness and his respect and reverence for the worth of each thing, however simple. His photography expresses just what he so much revered in his father's painting. A vision of the world that was without decoration or superfluous comment. Full of balance, full of veneration for structure, for the relation of masses and for all the circumstances that impress an individual identity on each created thing. Wow. He did not, as Howard Griffin tells us, seek to capture or possess. No, he allowed the objects to remain true to themselves and thus to reveal themselves and thus to reveal God. Finding this kind of love and joy in created things asks of us detachment. Just as with people, we do not own or possess. Everything, friends, is mystery. As soon as you think you know exactly what something is, you're lost. Everything is mystery. And so we thank God for his amazing generosity. And as we do, we pray that we may grow in awareness in detachment and in gratitude. For as soon as we have taken something to ourselves, claimed it, possessed it, hug it to our hearts, we have stolen it from God. And sadly, they're no longer his, but yours. Let us close with, yeah, we're ready to close, I know. It's a pretty good session to spend some time with, isn't it? Here's Psalm 104 to close today. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. Above the rains you build your dwelling. You make the clouds your chariot. You walk on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers and flashing fire your servants. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom, you made them all. The earth is full of your riches. Amen.